We're continuing through our series in Matthew's Gospel, and today the reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 35. If you'd like a physical Bible in front of you, we do have some available in the foyer, otherwise you can follow along with the words on the screen. And so Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. I want to begin by giving my appreciation to Matt for allowing me to have this passage to preach from. He picked a good time to go on long service leave, I can tell you. Anyway, but let us pray. Father, we ask that you would enlighten us in the way that we need to be enlightened from what we are reading this morning in this passage of Scripture. A small section, yes, but has so much to speak to us about. Through your Spirit, speak pointedly and specifically to the things that we need to know and understand this day. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you or we have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open up to the passage that we have with Matthew chapter 18. In this passage, Matthew deals with difficult and personal issues that we will have or we will face, and what Scripture teaches about how we are to face them and work through them. Our Bible reading this morning is the fourth part of a teaching by Jesus to his disciples that he began in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, where it says, when they came to Capernaum, and then it goes on to talk about the temple tax. And then in chapter 18, verse 1, and the disciples came to him saying. So we're in this context of interaction with Jesus and the disciples. The focus of this passage from verse 15 on is how, as believers, we deal and treat each other when we have differences and disagreements. How we as believers are to deal with each other and treat each other when we have differences and disagreements. And they do occur. They do happen. So let's break down the passage. Firstly, verses 15 through to 20. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him, or brother and sister sins against you, go and tell him they're his fault, between you and him alone. If they listen to you, you have gained a brother or sister. But if he doesn't listen to you, and I'm reading from the ESV translation, so it's a little different, take one or two along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, let them be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind in earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I don't know about you, but I can put myself into both places of someone who's had a grievance and going, and someone who's been someone coming to. So I put myself in both places. Matthew's focus, I believe, here is believers, how we are to deal with problems that arise. And we are to deal with them with care, respect, accountability, and yes, consequences. And these do happen. For the heart of all of this is God's heart and desire that there be genuine forgiveness and restoration between believers and with our Lord in all circumstances. Now, the timing of this teaching by Jesus takes place during Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, which we read he arrives at in chapter 21, verse 1. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, so they're in Capernaum in the north and they're traveling towards Jerusalem, Jesus' final journey on his way to the cross. So we're in the closing months of Jesus' life. His audience is his disciples, where they say in verse 1 of chapter 18, and the disciples came to Jesus. All right. Now, the point Jesus is stressing, no matter what issue or problem we have as believers, as members of his church, we are to face openly and be accountable to him and to each other. This hopefully will lead to a positive resolution, but unfortunately not always. It doesn't always happen. This does not change God's goal for the church, for us as believers, that of forgiveness and healed relationships would be restored and would happen with each other and with God. The difficult part is for us to be willing to face and deal with difficulties in a godly way. Having an attitude of care and respect towards each other in dealing with disagreements is important and will affect the outcome. Firstly, verse 15 says that we should go alone to the other person and talk privately, so as not to pressure or embarrass the other person, but to deal with it openly. And this is the context of verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth about anything, if they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The context of that verse is the background with which we approach people, that the background with which we approach situations, with prayer. And prayer by faithful others listening and supporting us. Secondly, the attitude with which we go to is mentioned three times in verse 15, 16, and 17. To be open and prayerful in how we listen. To listen. Be open and approachable. And being open and approachable may very easily resolve the difficulty, for it may just be miscommunication. That's all it could be. And thirdly, if the problem is much broader, saying involving some sort of inappropriate behavior by a church member or church leader or in something like that, as indicated in verses 16 and 17, further steps need to be taken in dealing with that. But again, as in verses 19 and 20, with prayer, seeking God's leading and God's direction, that we approach, even in that sort of a situation, with care and respect, always with the aim of restoring relationships and forgiveness. As difficult as confrontation can be, and I must admit to you now, I am a conflict avoider. Totally. My two children are conflict confronters, but I'm a conflict avoider. All right? And confrontation can be difficult. As difficult as it is to ignore and leave issues unresolved, or to keep them private and allow them a resentment to sort of fester, in the long run is harmful to everyone involved. And God is not honoured. In verses 18, 19 and 20, these verses speak of accountability and the responsibility. For some matters, the church leadership will need to act and take action. And that's what our church leaders are elected to do. It's not easy, but it needs to happen. But it needs to happen in respect and genuine care for everyone involved, and for the church to be honouring our Lord. This is difficult. It's not easy, but it needs to happen. How they are handled in these sort of situations, both privately and in a church situation, can do great good and can do great harm. And this is the context of verses 19 and 20. Again, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. It is in prayer that we gather to pray about these things, to deal with them openly. This is where we start in dealing with issues and conflict. Now, verses 19 and 20, Jesus is talking about how we handle disagreements in the church. Having people faithfully and confidently and confidentially praying is not just important, it's vital. And that's not to mean that we gather a few people around and we share prayer points so that they go wider. It's not that at all. It's in confidence of gathering people to pray in dealing situations. Our prayer is for God's answer, not what we want or what we see or what we think is necessary. When our prayers are unselfish, that of truly desiring God's answer, He will answer. Not necessarily what we want or what we see as the outcome, but what our Lord in His wisdom knows to be best in His love for us. The heart of Jesus' teaching here is care and respect, accountability and forgiveness, with the goal being restoration of relationships between believers and with God, our Lord. Make no mistake, I say this knowingly, make no mistake, our wider community is watching our church. They are watching us. We are told that in Scripture. Our wider community is watching our church, and they are watching how we as believers handle conflict and difficulties. And the way the church approaches these difficulties will either attract people or, unfortunately, can turn them away. And we only have to see some of the situations in the news where the church difficulties are aired and how the church gets a bad name. We need to be careful in what we do here, in prayer and in how we go about facing these things. Secondly, we move on into verses 21 and 22. Excuse me. Verses 21 and 22. It seems that Peter's been really listening to Jesus here. And he quotes in here where he says, "Should I forgive my brother three times?" He's quoting Jewish law. All right, for forgiving a person three times. So what Peter does, he doubles it and adds one just for good measure, thinking that'll be good. I've nailed it. But Jesus' response must have taken Peter aback. Jesus is saying that forgiveness is to be unlimited, 77 times. 77 means that forgiveness goes on and on and on and on, forgiving. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 tells the church, "Forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you." A verse really worth contemplating. How has God forgiven me? On and on and on and on. 1 John chapter 9, 1 verse 9 encourages believers, if we confess our sins, he, that is God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The forgiveness we receive from our Lord is the forgiveness we are to pass on to others from our hearts. And from the heart is the genuineness, the feeling. We are to remember how much we have been forgiven by God. And this brings us, thirdly, to Jesus' point that he's making in the parable that we read in verses 23 onwards. The heart of Jesus' parable is the unimaginable grace of God. In the parable, forgiveness is freely given for an unimaginable debt by this first servant. And forgiveness is withheld by that servant for a smaller debt. Like all of God's gifts, forgiveness brings responsibility. It must be passed on. It's not something we hold. Like all God's gifts, we are to share it. We are to give it. Resentment, that of holding on to bitter feelings in our own hearts, needs to be acknowledged and needs to be taken to the cross where it belongs. Now, this parable in Matthew is one of seven parables that Jesus used to declare the extravagant goodness of God's grace. It's just one of seven. The other parables in Luke 7 talks of the two debtors. In Luke 15, of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. In Luke 18, we have the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple together. And then in Matthew 20, we have the good employer. All of those parables, including this one, speak of God's forgiveness and God's grace. Now, all this teaching is good. But in reality, when the rubber hits the road, okay, when we have to face up to problems and difficulties between each other and do what Scripture says, it's difficult. And sometimes we'd rather ignore it. And by ignoring it, we can either leave the church that we're attending or we can just sit there and quietly, you know, fester away, become uncomfortable with the whole thing. It's difficult. So what I'd like to do this morning, rather than proceed through the passage in the third person, so to speak, I want to go off script and speak of personal experience, my personal experience of experiencing God's forgiveness and of overcoming resentment and forgiving people. Now, what I want to share with you this morning, the details of names, places, dates are not important. All right? They're not important. So don't get hung up on that. The personal experience of my journey were at times difficult and painful, very painful. What was at the heart of this difficult time was my resentment, that of holding on to bitter feelings towards others of how I was treated. So let me begin. A number of years ago, there was a conflict arose between with a person and myself where I was challenged and questioned about my actions. Now, I felt the questions were unjustified, as the person had not spoken to me privately about this and warned me what was going on, but raised it publicly within the crowd. So in respects, I was blindsided by it. All of a sudden, this has just arisen. What do I do with it? I was blindsided. As the days and weeks moved on, there was no contact was made with me to work through the issues that were raised. So my resentment about what had been done to me festered. Why should I make the first move to resolve things? I was the one that was confronted. I was the one that was hurt. As a result, my resentment deepened to the point wherever I sat down to have a cup of tea or a coffee or was sat quietly, all right, my thoughts would turn to how badly I was treated. I was enjoying wallowing in my self-righteous pity. I was having a great time. It was just there all the time. As the weeks and months moved on, my attitude and resentment was affecting my relationships with people, specifically my family, and with my Lord. And my mental and physical health were also affected by this. But I maintained that I was the one hard done by. I was the one that was hurt, so why should I do anything about this? Why don't they come to me? So things didn't improve. This went on for a time. Now, the other people involved in this didn't see that they'd done anything wrong that they needed to ask forgiveness for. They'd acknowledged a situation they saw was there and they spoke about it. Right? So what changed? What changed? Well, I believe that God got tired of my whinging and my self-pity and took things in hand to change things, to sort out my relationship, my relationships with those involved and with him. To begin, I must say that I was not a willing participant in this. I was enjoying this wallowing in, you know, I was the one hard, pity, poor me kind of thing. But God was not going to give up. I needed to admit my struggle and take action to break the resentment cycle and for me to accept God's forgiveness and be willing to forgive those who had hurt me. This was not easy. And it was not a pleasant time. So how did it happen? How did this journey begin and move forward? And it did move forward. Well, to begin with, it began with a three-word prayer that God laid on my heart. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. Whenever I began to fall into this self-pity time, whenever I even saw people that were involved or came across places that reminded me of the conflict, I was stirred by God to pray, Lord, bless them. Now, initially, this prayer was a quick one. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. You know, just that quick kind of thing to get it over and done with, so to speak. But over time, my heart softened and my prayer became more heartfelt. The conflict was still there. Their opinion had not changed. What was changing was my receiving God's forgiveness, God's moving in my life to genuinely forgive them for those that I held resentment towards. Thus the prayer, Lord, bless them, deepened, became more heartfelt. Whether they accepted or acknowledged my forgiveness was of no importance. They may not have even known that I was praying this prayer for them. What was important was that I had to forgive them and I had to leave things there. God was dealing with me. Which brings us back to the parable that Jesus was teaching, not just to Peter, but Jesus' teaching is for us today. The first servant begged and received forgiveness from the king for a debt that he was unable to pay, all the while being unwilling towards others to give forgiveness who owed him so little. Resentment and unforgiveness both have to be dealt with, and at times painfully, but still dealt with. In the story by C.S. Lewis, in the story of the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, by C.S. Lewis, the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there is a scene where the boy Eustace, who had come to Narnia with Edmund and Lucy against his will, nursed resentment against everyone for where he was and what was happening. In the story, Eustace was turned into a dragon, and the only way to be freed was for the dragon's skin to be torn off him. Try as he might, Eustace was not able to remove the dragon's skin. So Aslan, the great lion, removed the dragon's skin, and it took several tries to do it, and it was painful for him, but it had to be done. Finally, Eustace was no longer a dragon. He was changed on the outside back into a boy, but he was changed on the inside. His resentment towards others was gone. God, in his deep love for you and me, does at times need to teach us painful lessons for our benefit, to help us grow in our faith and in our love and treatment of each other, not just in words, but in action. Not just in words, but in action. In my situation, I was not responsible for the response or acceptance of my prayer and forgiveness from the other people. I was not responsible for how they received it. I was responsible to do it. It was for me. I had to ask God, help me forgive them. Break down my resentment that I would be what you would have me be. I began to understand what Jesus was saying in verse 35 of our reading this morning. So also my heavenly Father will do for every one of you, will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. We are to forgive each other from our heart. Forgiveness from the heart. Not in mere words, but genuine, real forgiveness. Heartfelt sorrow in what we do. Colossians 3, as I quoted before, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. We need to reflect at times on how much we have been forgiven. Like the first servant, he was forgiven a debt that he could not pay and was just wiped away. We are forgiven a debt that we cannot pay. We must pass it on. How hard it can be, but how healing and releasing to experience how deeply we are loved and forgiven, and to pass that on, to forgive others, to allow resentment to be drained away, to be in a position where you can say, I do forgive you, and move on with that. And my journey continues. Whatever the difficulties you may be facing or will face in the future, the journey our Lord takes us on to defeat and release us from resentment and unforgiveness, he does so because he loves us. As long as resentment remains, forgiveness cannot happen. Resentment has to be acknowledged and laid at the foot of the cross to break it down. We have been forgiven a debt beyond all payment. As our Heavenly Father has forgiven you, forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for what you speak to us. At times, difficult things that we have to confront and deal with, and yet we do not do them alone. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we will and have faced in the future, that we will remember this. What we have been forgiven, help us to forgive others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.